Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll read from verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The apostle is saying, finally, brethren, be strong. Finally, brethren, summon up courage. And we read the portion of scripture, be thou strong and very courageous. And what must they be strong and very courageous to do? Strong to stand in the battle against the enemy? No, they needed strength to be strong, to observe, to do everything according to the Word of God. It takes more courage to obey the Word of God than it takes to stand against an enemy with a sword and stand against people in your office. The apostle is saying that we find our strength in union with the Lord. Our strength is not in ourselves. Our strength is in the power of his might. We draw strength from the Lord's boundless supply, unending supply of power from the Lord. That's the reason that we can be strong. That's the reason we are strong. The power of his might. The Lord assists us with his power and his might. So therefore, we need not be afraid. We don't need to be afraid. The Lord is with us. Who can be against us? And we all know that if God is for us, in every battle that we face, in all that we do, we are on the winning side if the Lord is with us. Now we come to this vast subject of the, and it's a rich subject, of the armor of God. And the Bible speaks of loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking up the shield of faith. Take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit and the sword of the Spirit. So this is a picture taken from a Roman soldier, taken from a soldier clad and ready for war. And today we'll look at some of these pieces. There are just too many pieces to look at to cover them all. So I think we'll just maybe cover two pieces today. So let's begin with be strong and put on the whole armor of God. Be furnished in every grace. This is what it's saying. The whole armor, none missing, no part exposed to the enemy, that you may be able to stand and that you may be able to fight. But it has the word able to overcome. It's not just fight, it's fight and overcome the enemy. That's against the wiles of the devil. You see, we are fighting not against flesh and blood, we are fighting against the wiles of Satan. And to overcome requires God's strength and requires our full and complete armor that God provides. The reason that we are courageous is because the Lord is with us. And the other reason is because our enemies have no Lord with them and they have no help, but we have help. And our master, we must remember, our master has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he's with us always. It's a fact that the enemy always attacks where we are weakest. He doesn't attack where we are strong. The Christian armor is made to put on. It is given to us to use. But almost every one of us, including me, are guilty of neglecting this grace that is given. We are guilty of not putting on the armor as we ought to. And in this armor, there's such protection. There's protection for repelling every kind of attack that the enemy could possibly bring. But it remains for us to put it on and apply and make use of the armor. So the Ephesians, number one, were told to stand, to stand. Well, it's just really meaning to adopt the posture of being awake, not lying down and sleeping. Awake and stand ready to fight. Adopt the posture to fight your enemy. Stand from sleep. It's a call to vigilance. Your enemy, like a roaring lion, roams about seeking whom he may devour. Paul reminds the Ephesians this about the open warfare. He reminds us of the wiles of the devil, but he's not only reminding the Ephesians, he's reminding us as well. He's reminding all the people, all the generations to come, that our battle is not against flesh and blood. Now, how do these principalities and powers fight against us? I'm not going to spend much time on this, but I'm just going to make a comment. And you have to understand, the devil cannot just put sickness on you at his will. He cannot just force you to sin. He cannot just force you to become an alcoholic. He cannot just make you do something that you don't want to do. But what he does is he tempts us. He brings temptations. And this is how the enemy attacks. He tempts us and tries to get us to sin. He entices us and gives us opportunities to lie. If we're late for work, we think, I'll say, you know, the picky got a puncture and I couldn't make it on time. And you know it's not true. The enemy entices us to lie, or he entices us to act with bad temper or lose our temper. And he visits us with false doctrine and false teaching if he can. And he's constantly trying to introduce false doctrine into the church. He tries to get us to deny Scripture. He tries to get us to question Scripture. He does it very gently and very subtly at first. He will try to get you to question God's Word. And he did it with Adam and Eve in the garden. He's very subtle. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which Jehovah God had made. And he said to the woman, "Is it so that God has said, you shall not eat from every tree that is in the garden?" So the devil wants us to question, did God say? Did God really say? And he tempts us to, instead of believing God's word, to question God's word. He tempts us to love our businesses, or not only our businesses, but any number of temporal things, our hobby, our anything. He wants us to love anything except God overly much. And yes, we should be responsible for our business. We should run our business well. But the devil pushes us further and further. And we find ourselves putting other things before the Lord. The other things become the first things, and the Lord becomes the second thing. That's the strategy of the enemy. He wants us to put God second and to put what's important to us first. That's his goal. Or he puts thoughts into our minds and he says, the preaching of the gospel is not important. You don't have to do it. It's a job of the pastor. Don't have to be a witness. And besides, if God wants to save somebody, he knows how to touch their hearts and save them. You don't have to do anything. Don't have to preach the gospel. He tries to say, get your attention on earthly things. Get your attention on anything that will distract you from being a witness for the kingdom of God. These are just some of the many attacks that Satan will try to bring. But the good news is, whatever the attack, there is a piece of armor that is sure to defeat the attack, sure to keep us safe, sure to make us overcomers of all his strategies. Not one of them will succeed. Now the apostle begins speaking about several pieces of armor. We pick up in Ephesians 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Loins girt about with truth. What is meant by loins? And what is meant by truth? Well, let's look at truth. Some people, or some scholars, they say that truth is Christ. But Christ is more than just one single piece of armor. Christ is not just one piece of armor for our loins. No, Christ is mighty. If anything, Christ is the whole armor. So it cannot mean that Christ is truth, this one piece of armor. It cannot really mean Christ Jesus. So there are two ways of seeing truth. Number one is what we call objective truth, which is the unchanging doctrines of faith and the unchanging word of God, the doctrines of grace, truth. And then there is subjective truth, truthfulness and sincerity of heart, honesty of mind, removal of all hypocrisy in our relationship with the Lord. No guile, no bitterness in our actions or our feelings to the Lord. And the scripture that comes to mind is, there must be truth in the inward parts. So there's a truth in the inward part and there's a doctrinal truth. Two kinds of truth. But let me tell you that it's not one or the other. It is both that are required to make the belt of truth complete. Doctrinal truth, understanding God's ways, understanding the solid doctrines, defend our souls. And sincerity of heart and truthfulness of heart and seriousness of heart and consecration of heart and commitment of heart help us to do what God has called us to do. Let me give you a Bible example of somebody who had sincerity of heart, great sincerity of heart, but he had no doctrinal truth. He had no solid truth of what God's will was. And who was that? Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was full of zeal. He was fighting against the Christians. He was thinking that he was doing a service unto God. He really thought he was pleasing God. He was very sincere He was very committed, but he was very wrong. He didn't know or have knowledge of God's will in the matter. He was persecuting God's people. He didn't have any knowledge of the unchanging doctrines of God and the purposes of God. So to be an effective servant, you need that sincerity of heart, but you need that understanding of God's will as well. It's not one or the other, but it is both. Both are needed. Honesty and or sincerity of heart in that which we put our hand to, and then knowledge of the truth, understanding of the truth. Both are needed and required to make the girdle, which is the belt, complete. Isn't it interesting that one of the things that Satan tries to steal, and one of the things that Satan always opposes, is the truth. He always opposes the truth. And the more he opposes the truth, the more we need to hold fast to the truth. We need to, in the ancient times, the Roman soldiers, they had the belt of truth. And they saw that it was, to them, the belt of truth was one of the most important pieces. Why? Because it braced and held firmly all the other pieces of armor in place. It held it all in place. Armor without a belt of truth, the pieces were not held securely. The robes were not held securely. How can you run and fight against somebody when your flowing robes are tripping you and making you fall? You can't do it. Truth. It was truth that kept Joseph. When he was sorely tempted by Potiphar's wife, every day she cast her eye upon him, her lustful eye, and she constantly was looking at Joseph and tempting him. What did Joseph do? He said he didn't make any excuse, but he boldly spoke and he said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" It was truth, the knowledge of God's will, that caused Joseph to stand in the temptation. He knew that he wanted to please God, not dishonor God. He wanted to do what was right, not what was wrong. And therefore, he stood. The opening verse that we opened with exhorted us to stand therefore. We are told to stand. Now, I read an interesting story. I wish I had a picture to show you. There's a little bird called a gray heron. I don't know how little it is, a medium-sized bird, but it has a long, sharp beak, very sharp beak. And when a bird of prey wants to attack a gray heron, that bird stands its ground, stands firm, and holds its beak out. And when the eagle comes to get it, its beak is like a sword and pierces the attacking bird of prey. And the more violent the attacker is, the more it is pierced. And so it is with the Christian. We hold forth the word of God, the truth, and our attackers, the evil one, the force that attacks us, the more angry they are with us, the more they pierce themselves with that word that we are holding forth. Stand firm and display the word. Hold it forth. The more fiercely the foe attacks us, the more surely they will pierce themselves. The note that I have here is, his word is a fire. and all that cross his word shall be burned. God's word will protect his people. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Thy word, O Lord, is truth. Next is the loins. What is meant by loins? Well, if we want to know, we use scripture to interpret scripture. And we look at another verse in 1 Peter 1:13. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, girding up the loins of your mind, being sober, perfectly hopeful the grace being brought to you at the revelation of Christ. So our loins are the seat of our mind, our hearts, our spirit. Well, let me say it this way. If a man has weak loins, he's a weak man. It's to do with your thoughts. And let your thoughts, or let your mind, be focused, prompted, ready, prepared for spiritual work. Keep your mind in check from all the thoughts that try to flood your mind. Cares, affections, lusts, which entangle us and hinder us. Colossians 3:2 puts it very clearly. Set your affection on things above, not things of the earth, or not things on the earth. If we focus on God's word, and we have a rich understanding of scripture, a rich understanding of truth, we will be strong. We will be sincere. We will be fixed on God's purposes. But if we only focus upon carnal things, the result will be a darkened understanding. We won't have much understanding of the scripture. We won't have much understanding of the truth, and we won't be very strong. We will be shaking in our boots. Psalm 69, verse 23. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. So when somebody is weak and faltering, we say, their loins are shaking. Our minds and our spirits need to be strengthened with the truth. We need to brace up our minds, or else they will tremble with dismay and terror and feebleness. But how solid is the Christian that is established and braced by the truth? How firm they are. Let's move on to having the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. This is the largest and the biggest piece of armor, suggesting that Satan attacks in this area the very most. And what is the breastplate? What does the breastplate protect? And as we look briefly at the subject of the breastplate of righteousness, it's a piece of armor that protects the whole middle. It goes right down to the hips. It wraps right around, even behind. It covers behind. It's not only the front, and it's made of a strong chain that cannot be pierced easily. The apostle compares this, he says, it's your spiritual armor, it's where your heart is. It's where your heart is. And your heart is the seat of your affections, and it's where the vital organs are, where your emotions are, where everything is. So Satan is after your heart. But we have the breastplate of righteousness, which protects our hearts. It's a wrapped around us as a strong defense. The heart in Scripture speaks of feelings and affections. The heart needs to be protected from thoughts, from words, from deeds. But our hearts can also be greatly affected by hurts. When our heart is hurt by somebody, it's so easy that a root of bitterness can grow up in our heart. The scripture warns us lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you and thereby defile many. So we should put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect this great treasure which we have. This treasure that we have is a born-again heart. It is a conscience and feelings that have been touched and sanctified and purified by our conversion. Our heart is like a reservoir of life and purity. You know, when we had all this rain, we were gathering rainwater. We were filtering it and storing it in a bottle, a big plastic 20-liter bottle. But do you know one thing? I never allowed, you know those doodoos that move in the water? I never allowed those doodoos to go in the clean water. I made sure that I did not let them in. I filtered them out. I threw away those contaminated things. I made sure that I only put clean water into that container. And in the same way, it's with our hearts. If our hearts are a reservoir, we must guard our hearts and not allow anything that is ungodly to enter our hearts. One sure way that we can know that somebody has the breastplate of righteousness on is they have a great desire to do what God's word says. There's a great obedience to God's word, to follow His ways. Why? Well, because there's been a great exchange. Jesus Christ died on the cross for them. He took their sin upon the cross and He imputed unto them righteousness. He gave them righteousness, imputed righteousness. They're no longer the same. They are new creations in Christ. They have a new desire. They want to please the Lord. They want to they want to be a positive influence wherever they go. They want to be the salt. They want to be the light. They want to bring good to their neighborhood. They are conscious of their behavior and their actions, and they don't want to offend God. They want to please God. They want to walk reverently before Him, pleasing before Him. It's not my righteousness. It's His righteousness. It is given unto me. He took my sin and made me righteous. So I want to share something very practical. How then do we practically put on the breastplate of righteousness? What does it mean to put on the breastplate of righteousness? Well, we put it on by self-denial. You say, what? This doesn't, I don't like it. I don't like that self-denial word. But supposing that somebody never denied themselves anything and they watched everything on television without a limit. They never limited themselves and they watched everything. Let's say they watched an intriguing story, very well acted, so cleverly and well done, and But that story was full of bad language, full of sexual scenes, and it was crammed full of these bad images. Yet they enjoyed it because it was so well done, so cleverly done, and they began to like it. They began to excuse its badness and its wrong. And what happened? Their affections got corrupted, and they became weakened, and they lowered their standard. And now they accepted and tolerated the sins that were portrayed, and they no longer rejected them. What should have they done? What would have been the right thing to do? The right thing would have been to say, no, I deny myself. I will not watch this program. I'm going to guard my heart. I don't want to allow my affections to be corrupted. Christ is my most sacred possession. I'm going to deny myself watching this. I'm going to diligently keep my heart. I'm going to put on the breastplate of righteousness with self-denial. I'm protecting what's most precious to me. We think of the well-known scripture, Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We keep and guard our hearts with the breastplate of righteousness. Our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he always wore the breastplate of righteousness. You say, how do you know? Because he always pleased the Father. Because he always did the Father's will. When he was faced with the greatest battle of all time, the greatest fight, he said, Luke 22 and verse 42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. Oh, when we're wearing the breastplate of righteousness, we say, not my will be done, Lord, but your will be done. I live to please you. I walk in step with you. I love what you love, and I hate what you hate. I will not corrupt my affections. The breastplate of righteousness would lie neglected if we did not believe that holiness was pleasing to God. If we did not believe that holiness was essential to our happiness, the breastplate of righteousness would be useless to us. We would neglect it and have no interest in the breastplate of righteousness if we had no interest to be obedient to God and to his word. The scripture says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4:23. Scriptures like, put on the new man, which according to God was created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, when the breastplate of righteousness, we put it on. We want to please God. We want to obey. We deny ourselves doing things that we know will definitely dishonor the Father. We've been forgiven of so much. We therefore love much. We desire to walk in a manner pleasing to the Lord. Because of how much we have been forgiven of, we desire to walk in consecration to our Lord. We desire to keep our hearts full of God's word. We don't desire to be empty. We desire to have the word of God rooted and established in our hearts. And if we do not do this, if we do not have the word of God in our hearts, If we do not desire these things, oh, the flow of life from our hearts would be so little and so weak and so nothing. I close with some words of a hymn. All my trust on thee is stayed. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of your wing. The righteousness of Christ is the breastplate of the soul. Oh, cover us, Lord, with your ways. May we wear that breastplate every day. May we please the Father every day. Amen. Amen. Amen.